Okay, this morning we're going to talk about forming the storm. We're going to get a tornado stirred up here. Father, we just love you so much and not enough. We need to love you more. We thank you that you love us more. Lord, we get discouraged with life. We just get weary. We get tired of the same old every day and waiting and hoping and looking for something to happen. Lord, we have been a patient church, waiting long. I don't know how good we are at waiting, but we're waiting. But Lord, we know there's things you want to do. We know there's things you want to do here at Burning Bush and in each individual life. And we know that these things you're going to do are going to be released. They're going to happen. They're going to come through prayer. Lord, we've heard and seeing the visions of three tornadoes coming. We've had that from several prophets. But God, how do we pray them in? How do we let prayer form the storms of these tornadoes? We want you to give that to us. We want you to do that in us. Just ask you to inspire us, stir us up, start blowing your wind in us, God, till we get all full of desire to pray. Stir up your spirit in us this morning to be open to you. Let you revive life in us again. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, storming prayer. We've had these visions about a tornado will enter these doors through prayer. That a season of real prayer will bring a season. Is your hand up or are you just, yeah? You did. You had a dream about another tornado. You want to share it? Yes. Come on, I'll just come stand near you so the mic will pick you up. Won't make you get up and walk.
Okay, yeah. It was like a couple days ago, and I could see it was like this tornado. People was running and running and running, and it was like this big tornado was coming. And everybody was trying to run and try to get shelter and try to get shelter. And that's as far as I've seen it from there.
Awesome.
But it was just, when you said that storm about people had about tornadoes, I had one. I dreamed about a tornado.
Very cool. I know Nate had one. Didn't you see three tornadoes? Was it Jackson? Didn't you see three tornadoes? What did you see?
I saw the ground turning to a giant snow whirlpool.
A snow whirlpool on the ground. We had a vision years ago about three tornadoes.
I was in one this morning.
And then God had said, a season of real prayer will bring a season of real power, and a tornado will enter these doors through prayer. We closed our resale shop. It just came to the end of its time, and God was done with that. But we know that we haven't been able to fully pay the rent here, and the landlord has the building up for sale, and we did a lot of praying, oh God, is it time for us to go somewhere else? Is it time to move this work? And I kept asking him, just show us. If you want us to relocate, we'll do that. But if you want us to stay here, because we kept getting all these ideas about things he wanted to do here. So finally he told me, I want you to listen to a message that you yourself brought. And he told me to go look it up on the website. And I don't remember the name of it, but whatever the name of it was, I had no idea what message it was. So I start listening to it, and it happened to be the very one when we got this building, and we had just had prayer in this building. And we had seen what all God wanted to do here. Remember, those of you who were here, we walked room to room to room, and we saw the vision of what God was going to do here. Now, you know we're painting a giant painting back there that shows us the progression of where the world is at today in darkness and how God's going to cover this world with his glory. And it's like this bright, shining light of his glory shines through us. Each one of us needs to let God shine through us in the way he created us, to partner with us, to release him. Well, when I was listening to that sermon, I came across a part where I'd had a vision in this building where I saw God's glory come here and flood this place. And there were all kinds of people. I couldn't even count them. And they were just falling down and worshiping and weeping and repenting and praising. And then they stood up and they surrendered their lives and said, train me, God. Train me and send me. And it was like each one of them became a little glowing light of his glory. And right now he's telling us to paint that picture that represents that happening. And that was a confirmation to me. In that prayer time when we got this building, we saw the 500 coming to be trained. We saw every room fully equipped with ministers that were full of God and ready to let him flow in the various ministries. We had teachers and preachers and prophets and janitors, and everybody was just filled with God in serving him in this place. And I feel like God used that to tell me, here's your answer. I don't want you to lose this building. I want you to pray until something happens to keep this building. You know, it breaks my heart. One verse, we're going to get to it later. It says, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on earth? And he tells us to pray believing. What do we believe? Whatever we want? No. Faith is believing what he said he's going to do.
Right.
We need to remember what he said he was going to do here. Then we can pray for it, knowing he's going to do it because he said so. That's faith. And he says, will he find faith? In other words, that starts with, were you even believing? Because there's a way God does things, and it's to test our faith. First, he tells you what he's going to do, and then everything in life looks the opposite. He gave us a promise house. He said, I'm giving you this house. You're going to own this house, and you're never going to move again. And immediately thereafter, the house burnt down. And we thought, how are we going to own it when, you know, now the fire has destroyed it? We were only renting. And we moved out, and the landlord called and said, we're rebuilding and remodeling. Would you like to move back in? Yeah. He said, well, I'll send the remodelers to you, and you tell them everything the way you want it. Going, see, God gave us the house. We moved back in, remodeled the house. And then our business folded, and we lost it again. He tests what he tells you. And you have to hang on to what he said when you're in the dark hour and can't see it. That's when your faith says something. Faith that isn't tested isn't even faith. It's just simply saying, God said he'd give me $100, and I'm looking at the $100, and he did it. Thank you. That's blessing. God said he's going to give you $100, and he takes away the 20 you had. Now you got to believe when everything says it's not true and it can't happen. That's when your faith stands up and shouts, I'm getting the $100, and I'll believe it until I hold it. When two or three of you agree as touching something, God's going to do it. Now, we're more than two or three of us here, and we need to form some storm troopers for this building. We need storm troopers who are going to say, I saw the tornado coming. And I'm not talking about the one that messed up our roof and tore up our building. I'm talking about a spiritual tornado. I saw the glory of God here. I've heard the word of God here. I believe he's coming. If you don't have that word, you didn't have that vision, you missed that part, then you need to go and ask him. God, do you want to save this building? Do you want to give us this building? Do you want us to stay here? Show me. Speak to me so that I have something to put my faith in. Then you can join us and be a stormtrooper and pray for that. So we're going to form some stormtrooping prayer power here. And this season of real prayer is going to bring this amazing season of God's real power here. But what do we do when we don't feel like praying? What do we do when we just aren't moved? Then we have to invite the Holy Spirit to rise up in us. God, I am not hungry enough. Stir my hunger. God, I don't even feel like praying. You rise up and pray what you want. Habakkuk 2:4. write the vision, make it plain upon tablets so they can't run with it. You know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start printing up those visions and hang them around the walls here so you can look at them. But you have a vision. You have a word from God. You know, I don't have a sending word because I'm not going anywhere. But when I have, God sends me somewhere to do something, I actually print up the verses, the confirmations, the people that prophesied to me, what God has personally spoke to me. I print my whole sending word, and I carry it with me when I go. Because the devil will attack it. He will definitely attack what God has told you. And God will let him, because he's testing. Have you gotten any strength to stand in that day of power? Then you have to learn to stand in the dark time. Stand when you're persecuted. Stand when everything opposite happens. So you need to print what God said, and you may need to look at it 10 times a day to remind you, this is my truth, not what I see. This is my truth. And I lay down my life for this truth of what God wants to do with me. Not my pleasure, not what I want, not what's comfortable today, not what feels good, not the easy way out, but whatever God wants to get there. And we're looking for soldiers. We're looking for stormtroopers. We are looking for people who are going to rise up. Friday night, God gave me a word down there in Ionia, but I think it could fit anywhere. I kept seeing a doghouse. And I'm like, God, I see this doghouse and a person crawling out of it, but I don't know what that means. And he said, my people are living as though they're in the doghouse. They're crawling. And they need to crawl on out of that doghouse and get up on their feet and become soldiers. God's calling you out of your doghouse. Stand up.
Amen.
I want to say, be ye men, but be ye women. You know, I like reality TV. I watch Survivor. I watch Biggest Loser. I want to tell you something is flipped in this society. Because when things get rough, you know who is being tough? The women. And the men are crying. They're going, this is too hard. I want to go home. I'm going, give me a break. Where did the men go in America? And why are our women standing up in their place? Let's stand up together, men and women. Let's be God's soldiers. God said we're going to have teams of threes. There is power in that number. There is power in teams of threes. When we get together to pray, I don't care if it's only three, because when we got three, we've got power. Well, we're going to put some prayers up, and let's form teams. And God calls you to do something. Look for that second and third partner. He said we're going to get a place big enough to train the first 500. He didn't say we're going to get a place where the total outreach of this ministry is to win 500. The outreach of this ministry is millions, not hundreds. He said, train the first 500. He needs a base of 500 trained, ready ministers. Can you imagine what he's going to build on that base? Get out of your discouragement. God's got a place for you in this. God said it was time to prepare and position some of the current leaders. Send them out. Friday night, we sent out Nate and Leida to Ionia, and God blessed it. Glenn and Roxanne have been recommissioned and positioned to have a day ministry, opening that flower shop so people come in, opening this day cafe with a new zeal for it so that we have an open everyday ministry here to bring people in. Others are going to be sent. But when we send them away, who's going to do it here? We need new people training. In fact, we don't have Sunday school teachers. We are training preachers, and they're not getting up and preaching. Some of you are called to preach, and you're not practicing. And Sunday school is wide open, and it's the first place to begin to practice.
Amen.
Those kids will believe whatever you tell them, love that you love them. They will appreciate you. Adults won't. They'll throw tomatoes at you, but kids will appreciate you. Kids will love you. It's the perfect place to start preaching. We need nursery workers. We need prayer ministers. We need watchmen. And you must be trained. We're not just going to say, yes, we'll just throw anybody in there because we want it to get done. You need to be trained. Amen. We do hands-on training here. You want to be a prayer minister? Then tell us, and we'll take you with us as we pray and begin to train you as we do it. Volunteer. God has told us to have an art gallery, an art show. I don't know how to have an art show. See, I'm the kind of person that wants to write the book, paint the picture in my basement, and never have to go see anybody. I'm a recluse. The fact that I get up and talk is against my normal nature, but it's what God's doing. When you enter an art show, they want you to go sit there with your art all day, every day. That's why I don't enter any art shows. But God said we're going to have an art show here, and we're going to invite other artists, Christian art, to be displayed here. I don't know how to do that. But I'm in process of finding out so that we can do a good job of it and invite people. We're going to do that. I've had that on God's list of things he wants me to do for years, and I've never done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Can't say this year because this year's almost gone. Hopefully this year, but it could get over into January, so I don't know. We're going to do it. Mustard seed faith. The mustard seed is whatever God said. When you plant that mustard seed inside of your belly and you say, this seed is going to grow. It's going to grow till we see it sprout. And that sprout's going to grow into one of the biggest trees on earth. I am going to take that mustard seed. I'm going to water it and nurture it with prayer. I'm going to claim it, and then I'm going to begin to proclaim it. I'm going to claim that seed. This is my word from God. I'm going to claim it. If you don't have a word from God, I'm sorry. Get in the Word, get in the Bible, get in prayer, and tell God, I need a word for my life. I hope if you already have a word for your life, you'll get a word for this church as a body. But at least get a word for yourself and say, there it is, what God said to me. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to put it on the wall, carry it around in my pocket if I have to. But I'm going to take that seed, that mustard seed, and it's going inside my belly and my spirit, and I am never going to let it go. I'm going to water it with prayer. I'm going to water it with believing it, and I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to begin to proclaim it. I'm going to go around and tell people about it. Now, when God gave us that promise house, I went around and started telling people about it. This is my friend Lois. I've talked about her before. She was a skeptic. She said, I don't think God's going to give you that house because, you know, you're just going to get hurt believing something you want. And I went, no, God told me. Well, she lived an hour away at the time up in Grant. So I got in the car one day and I was like, God, show Lois. Let her be one of my witnesses. By the time I got to her house, she's meeting me at the door with her Bible in hand saying, God showed me he is going to give you that house. She became a credible witness. He showed her. But I proclaimed it to my family. I proclaimed it to my grown kids who mocked and teased as we lost that house. And years later, they would still say, do you still believe? And I went, I will live in that house because God said so. I will own it, and then I'm not going to move again. And if you don't see me in that house before I die, then you know where to find me in the thousand-year reign, because I'll be there then.
God said it. I believe it.
That's right. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. I proclaim it. Stand up in your faith and tell people about it. Amen. Proclaim it. And then pray it in. Keep praying it until it happens. Drove by my house, my promised house, the other night. Every time I pull up in that circle drive and I go, oh, those renters are still in there messing up my house. God, take care of my house and protect it so they don't mess it up too much, you know. If they're going to paint, make them paint a color I like. And get them out of there because I want my house back. In his timing. When I get that house back, we're having one big celebration party and you're all invited. I'll get Leida to do the cooking so I won't burn it. Somebody look up Matthew 17. 14 through 21. Okay, I'm going to come over there and let you read it. I can't see it. Did I get it?
And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and their child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fast.
Nothing shall be impossible to you if you will claim your mustard seed and never let it go. Nothing is impossible. This building's not impossible to save.
Amen.
It's not. God can do it like that. I don't know how to click. Yeah, there you go. He could pay for the whole building. He could give us the monthly rent, 1 month at a time. He could move on the landlords to just freely give us the building, and all we do is pay taxes. Isn't it nice? They painted it and roofed it. Now it's in better shape, too. Glenn was teasing with him and said, You're the greatest landlord, the nicest guy. He said, Why? He said, That you fixed this all up to give it to us.
He
did not quite agree because he still owes a lot of money on it, but he's paying $3,000 a month himself besides taxes, I think. So we need to pray that God would either give us the money to pay the rent, give us the money to buy the building, or put it on the landlord's heart or anybody's heart to give us the building. It's not impossible. For God, it's so easy to do. It can happen in a moment. It can happen in a click. James 5:17. Wait a minute. Let me get there yet. When we don't see it, or we do see the opposite, and we're being tested, that's when we have to proclaim the loudest. Because if God had said, I'm going to move this mountain, he won't do it until we proclaim it in prayer. John 5:17. James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I don't like that part because I don't like those like passions I'm subject to. Those passions are doubt and fear and weariness and depression and giving up and pride and whatever, confusion. Those passions, he had the same problem. He had the same problem. He wasn't some kind of walking miracle man who stepped on clouds. He was just a sinful, everyday guy like us who surrendered to God. And he prayed earnestly. What does that mean to pray earnestly? Well, it doesn't mean to show up one time and say, Dear God, please give us the building, and then go home and never pray it again. I don't know why God wants us to persist and persist and persist. I think it's more for us than him. But he does want us to persist. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He could stop the rain for 3 years. Somebody must have prayed for it to start raining around here this last few months. Somebody earnestly invited this rainstorm. I think Nate did it. I still blame Nate. He had to get up there over and over and over singing, Let it rain, let it rain. I kept saying every time he sang that we got more rain, he just prayed that in on us by singing it. We meant spiritually, God. Acts 4:31. Are you in a dry season? Let's pray for some godly rain, spirit rain. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God bold, with boldness. When they were assembled, this was the church. They come together. What do we come for? We come to hear a pretty song? Do we come to get a good cup of coffee and some fellowship? They had a purpose. They had prayed. You get what you pray for. So what were they praying? They got filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we being filled with the Holy Ghost? Are we praying to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And the place was shaken. We need to shake this place up. If we have a tornado, it's going to shake some stuff up around here. And we want to be shaken up. And we want to speak the word of God with boldness. What does that mean to speak it with boldness? It doesn't mean you have to be Harvey's personality, you know, and get in somebody's face and say, yes, I dare you to shoot me and send me to heaven, you know. It means, the boldness means I know what God said and I'm telling you what he said. That is authoritative power, authoritative word. I've been with God. I know what God is doing and saying, and now I'm telling you. That's boldness. Do you know what God has said? Can you speak it with authority because you know that God backs it up? That's boldness. The place was shaken. Acts 16:25 through 26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't afraid to be praying and singing out in public. Janiah will walk through Myers singing praises to God. It's awesome. You'd think that's embarrassing? No. People compliment her for it. They like it. They ask her, are you always so happy? You know, it affects people. And suddenly, there is a suddenly coming, people. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Shake us up, God. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. You know any people in prison, in bondage, addiction, sin, and they can't get loose? That's a prison. And the foundations of the prison. We need the very foundations of why we're trapped in sin to be shaken. Exactly. We need our foundations of our addiction. If you're shy, you need foundations of why to get shaken up. If you're afraid, you need that foundation of why are you afraid? God needs to shake us down to the foundation to set us free. Amen. And immediately all the doors were opened. Wouldn't you love all the doors to suddenly be open for us here? I love this section.
Yes.
And everyone's bands were loosed. The captives got set free. Don't just think of these guys in a literal prison. This is the prison of sin. We still have some prisons in us. And we know people that are such a prisoner of sin, they haven't even met Jesus yet. Won't we love to see that suddenly day? Do you want it? Then let's pray earnestly until we see it. Get a hold of a mustard seed for someone you want to see set free.
Yep.
And don't let go till they are free.
Amen.
And they'll get set free. Because suddenly will come that shaking of their foundation and all the doors will open. And they'll come out of that bondage. That is so exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow. God, just ignite that fire inside of us. Set us on fire, God, with this season of real prayer, because we want it and we cannot do it. We cannot pray powerfully unless your Holy Spirit rises up in us. And we're just begging you to rise up in us. Prepare each one of us. Light the fire of repentance inside of us individually. Burn away everything that blocks us from your full presence. We want to be glory carriers. We want to be stormtroopers. We're inviting you, God. Do whatever it takes. All we need to do, like Nate says, is show up, lay down our life, and say, come and do it, God. do it in me and I will cooperate with you. You are my life. You are my love. You are my passion, my desire, and my only hope. Do it in me, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.